Hey everyone!
Hola a todos!
This is Jahaira.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Hoy vamos a hablar sobre el caso de Jennifer Caridad. She was a young educator living with her family and her boyfriend.
Yeah, this is another case that we can say the very famous dicho, caras vemos, corazones no sabemos.
Mm-hmm. It's so sad how often we say it.
Yeah. And como siempre, antes de empezar el caso, we again would like to give you all a heads up.
For those of you who have been here for a while, you already know. For those of you who haven't, welcome. But we will be talking about sensitive topics. Entonces, queremos darles una advertencia porque aquí hablamos de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y víctimas. Okay, let's jump in.
Jennifer Caridad of Sunnyside, Washington, was only 24 years old at the time when this all happened. She was working at an Inspired Development Center, which is, you know, basically a childcare center in Sunnyside. Y a ella la describen like very talkative, muy divertida, muy simpática, buena gente, and just like the right person to take care of your little ones.
Yeah, una muy buena maestra and very dedicated and devoted to her career.
Mm-hmm.
Y también viene de una familia muy bonita y muy unida. As we see a lot in the Latinx community, you know, there's very tight connections with the family. And this is the case in this case, you know, like yeah. They were super connected and they loved each other very much. So her family includes Enrique Caridad, su papá, and su mamá, Leonor Vargas, y sus hermanitos chiquitos.
So she was the big sister, and we all know that's a big role, too, in the Latinx community, or in mostly all communities, you know, mm-hmm. The older sibling, the big role to fill. And they all looked up to her, Marco y Luis, and even though they were younger, they always wanted to protect her, as you know, the only girl.
Yeah, I was going to say that, porque como son los hermanos, y que, you know, you have to be like, I don't know, quote unquote, like the protector or something, you know, like... Yeah, so I can definitely see why they would act as like they're protecting her,
yeah.
Even though they're younger. So yeah, it's so cute. But yeah, she was also in a relationship with 26-year-old Aurelio Escobar for about 8 months now.
Mm-hmm.
And everything seemed okay and nothing alarming to people outside of the relationship.
Yeah, and... He actually ended up moving in with her and her family. And her family was not very thrilled about this. They did not pick up a good vibe from Aurelio. You know, he was unemployed and just his whole energy was off to them. And they just weren't too sure why he was moving in.
Mm-hmm. Pero Aurelio fue a hablar con el papá de Jennifer. And Aurelio told him how much he loved his daughter and how much they loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
Y que ellos querían juntarse para empezar a vivir juntos. Y, you know, all those like things.
Yeah, but Enrique was not having those, you know, nice words that Aurelio was trying to buy him with. And él no entendía que, you know, si tanto querían vivir juntos, he thought, why not go get their own space? But, you know, he was concerned that Aurelio was unemployed. But Aurelio sí le aseguró that they were both going to work hard to accomplish their goals.
Another thing that he was worried about was that he was unemployed and he was, you know, having this conversation with him. To ask him to let him go in into his own house and like live and be part of that family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot to ask when you're going in there and you're unemployed and you're asking to live with them, you know?
Yeah.
Porque like if you're going to live there, I feel like, you know, you might have to contribute some way, like pay rent, buy groceries, pay some bills. So I think that's a big ask. So I wonder if they talked about that, you know?
Yeah.
So Enrique gave in. He allowed Aurelio to move in and live with his daughter. And the relationship somewhat took over Jennifer's life. It overshadowed her work with the kids at the childcare she was working at. And the relationship didn't like drastically change her, you know, but she for sure was not the same person.
And also her little brother, Luis, does say that he heard the couple argue and that he sensed trouble when he heard them yelling. And I mean, todos peleamos, ¿verdad?, entre parejas, but I guess maybe this one seemed a little too intense for him.
Yeah, porque no sabemos cuántas veces habían alegado, or, you know, argued. We don't know how many times. So, si fue nomás una vez. Yeah, no leímos más detalles sobre esto, if it was just once or if it was like many times. But it was enough for the brother to like be alarmed.
Alarmed, yeah. Y la familia también no sabía mucho de Aurelio. You know, I feel like, yeah, they were dating for 8 months, but 8 months is pretty recent, fairly recent, you know? Mm-hmm. Y mucho menos sabían about his background and his gang affiliation. And actually, we don't even know if Jennifer herself knew.
Mm-hmm. So now we're going to jump into the story of what happened el día 8 de agosto del año 2021. So again, just last year, so...
very recent.
Yeah, very recent. Era un día normal. Jennifer salió de su casa como a las 5 de la tarde. Ella dijo que iba a recoger a su novio Aurelio. She didn't give many details about where she was going to pick him up from. She just said that she was going to go pick him up and that she would be back and she'd be returning pretty early. Mm-hmm. I think she said all this as she was heading out and she told her brother.
Pero Jennifer no llegaba y su hermano Marco le mandó un mensaje preguntándole que dónde estaba, you know, because she did mention like, I'm going to be home real quick, you know, or like just a quick little errand or something. Pero Jennifer no le estaba contestando los mensajes de texto.
Mm-hmm. Y también no le estaba contestando a su papá Enrique, que él también estaba hablando as soon as, you know, like his son kind of told him, right?
Him, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So everybody was like trying to reach her, but her phone estaba apagado. And that same day, on August 8th, her family reported her missing. Like, they did not want it to
wait.
Yeah, like, they knew something was wrong, yeah. And so they reported her missing.
Yeah. And on August 9th, the Yakima police había respondido a una llamada del 911. Les llamaron sobre a shooting that was happening near Berglund Lake in Yakima.
And so the call was about Aurelio, who allegedly shot a rival gang member and then stole his car while this man was fishing with his daughter.
I hate the fact that he did this while this person was with their daughter. Like, imagine the trauma for the little girl. But when the police arrived there, they found an abandoned truck and they ran the plates. And it came out to actually be Enrique, which is Jennifer's dad's truck. And they looked him up and they saw that he had reported his daughter missing the day before.
The authorities are connecting the dots,
the
right?
The dots, yeah.
And so they investigated the situation. They discovered that Aurelio came up to this man that was fishing. And then Aurelio demanded to for him to give him his keys to his car. But this man refused. And Aurelio then lifted his shirt to show that he was armed, that he had a gun, and that he was,
willing
to use force.
Yeah. But of course, you know, the other person, because they were with their daughters, like we mentioned earlier, like, se dio por vencer y le aventó las llaves. You know, you kind of have to pick your battle sometimes. And the man told police that when Aurelio ran away with his keys, he grabbed two bricks and ran after Aurelio. And as they were running, the gun slipped from Aurelio's waistband and fell to the ground.
And then this man tried running faster because he saw the gun and he wanted to get to it before Aurelio. But Aurelio got to it and shot him in the back of his neck and on his thigh. And I think, sí le dio las llaves porque estaba con su hija, pero a la misma vez, like, it's still a very dangerous situation and, like, running after him as well, like,
it's just risky.
Risky.
True, yeah. But luckily, though, at the end of the day, the victim is okay and so is his daughter and he has been released from the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Y la familia de Jennifer now knows this information about Aurelio. Ellos no sabían sobre su background and, like, what he was capable of doing. So that was, like, news to them. And they stated that they don't really care about him. All they care about is their daughter. But also in all this, like, reflecting and, like, news about Aurelio and, like, their daughter missing, they have been, like, reflecting a lot. And and también una de sus amigas, the Jennifer, ella dijo que Jennifer había discutido con Aurelio anteriormente. And she is missing now, and he's not helping. He's never sent a message. And I know, like, he just committed a crime and he's on a run.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, un mensaje. He never, like, showed any concern.
That is true. Or, like, at least call her family and see how... everything's going, like, where's Jennifer, mm-hmm. you know? Because no matter, like, the crime, if you love this person, you're going to want to show up for this person.
Mm-hmm.
The next day on August 10th, the Yakima PD gang unit searched the lake, and they found a rag with bloodstains and cleaning supplies. And the cadaver dog from the coroner's office joined the search, but nothing came up. And the dog did not pick up anything from the rag that they found.
Los investigadores pensaron que posiblemente los records de teléfono de Jennifer podía darles una pista, ayudarlos a poder encontrar a Jennifer. Like, mm-hmm. I guess, like, her last movements, you know, if, if she's, like, still being active.
Or just something.
Something to go off of. But when they were able to get her phone records, it gave them nothing.
Y, yeah, como dijo Stephanie, nada en el reporte del teléfono los ayudó. No encontraron ninguna pista. It was kind of a useless search.
It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, you're just hopeful of a clue, you know?
Right.
And so on August 11th, the major crimes unit searched the west side of Birkeland Lake, and they found Jennifer's clothing. I think they found her shoes and her purse. Encontraron su ropa, zapatos, y bolsa también. And they also found a blue tarp with blood.
And again, this is the same lake where Aurelio assaulted the other guy that was there with his daughter. And so during all these search efforts, apparently Aurelio was going on crime sprees through Washington and Oregon. On the same day that they found these items that belonged to Jennifer, Aurelio was apparently involved in a shooting in Medford, Oregon, which eventually led to his arrest. And along with that, there was also a lot of carjacking. And Aurelio, of course, was also charged with first-degree assault and then first-degree robbery and first-degree unlawful firearms possession. So this guy had a list. Like, he was going through it, you know? But the most important one, which is, you know, where's Jennifer? They found no connection to Aurelio, and he has not been charged in connection to the disappearance of Jennifer.
Y también no ha cooperado también a dar información de Jennifer as to anything that he knows. Like, he has not shared. But back to the search. Divers, they've used drones, they've used dogs in the search. Buscaron más veces in Birkeland Lake, and they also search Rotary Lake and the Yakima River, pero no encontraron nada.
Y si se acuerdan, previously we stated how Enrique's truck was stolen, and inside the truck, when it was found, había sangre. Y la sangre que encontraron en la troca fue entregada al Washington State Crime Lab para ver si era la sangre de Jennifer, or maybe Aurelio, or, you know, who knows. But of course, this is such a slow process, and even a slower process now because of COVID. We read that it could take up to a couple of months to get answers.
I think esto es un poco interesante porque en otros casos, también ahorita, durante este tiempo en COVID, people submit, you know, like blood samples and things like that. And they get an answer fairly quickly. And I feel like, why do they pick and choose for which cases get like a faster process?
That's true. Yeah. So, I mean, they've always picked and choose though.
Yeah. But it's very frustrating.
Yeah. Like, no, yeah, for sure.
A couple of months, that can definitely...
A lot can happen.
A lot can happen in a couple of months. Yeah. La mamá de Jennifer, Leonor Vargas, está frustrada porque tener que esperar meses y no saber si la sangre es de su hija or, you know, like, this potentially helping to solve the case.
Yeah.
Like, that is a long wait.
It is. And it's super long, especially not knowing if your daughter's okay or not. Like, that's the biggest concern, you know? Mm-hmm. Leonor has so many haunting questions, as I feel like every mother would. You know, she's asking, like, not only where is her daughter, but again, like, ¿qué le pasó a Jennifer? ¿Está sufriendo? ¿Necesita algo? Is someone hurting her? Is she cold, hungry? Like, the list just goes on and on.
It's like torture. Like, these questions are torture.
Yeah.
And so Leonor even has asked Aurelio's mom to convince her son to speak up and to say where Jennifer is. You know, it's kind of like a mother to mother. Like, you should know what I'm going through because you're a mother too. So please speak to your son and, like, speak up. And, you know, I don't know, like, maybe she has the power to get Aurelio to talk. And she's, like, asking her to do it.
As, like you said, like, as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
Y también la amiga de Jennifer le pide lo mismo a Aurelio, que hable, que nomás diga. You know, he's already in custody, he's already facing other charges, so why not just cooperate and finally admit to everything that he did?
Mm-hmm. And so the authorities are looking, are working on the case, and they do say that the search is complicated because Aurelio is a suspect in a two-state crime spree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because after stealing the car at Berglund Lake, Aurelio tried to carjack people in Huapato and Tapenish before switching vehicles in Goldendale, according to the Yakima and Tapenish police. So it kind of brings two counties, two different states together.
Yeah.
Against the same person.
And like many crimes, many like carjacking and plus the things that he did already. And so Aurelio left a car in Portland where he carjacked another person, and the first of several before he was wounded in a shootout with police and the sheriff deputies near Medford, Oregon, according to the Yakima police.
The Medford Police Department said that Aurelio fired a revolver at them, and they, of course, you know, returned the fire. Aurelio was shot 3 times and then was treated at a local hospital.
They also said que no officers or deputies were injured in the shooting, and per standard protocol, those law enforcement officers involved in the shooting had been replaced on administrative leave and pending further investigation.
So far, Aurelio has refused to answer questions about the blood on the seats of Enrique's car, and he has also refused to speak about Jennifer, and he immediately asked for a lawyer when questioned about it.
Enrique Caridad said, in a quote, "I can't explain the big love for her. It's my life. It's everything for me. I know I have 2 more kids and I love them, but it's the girl and I love her so much and miss her."
I can almost hear him say that like in Spanish, like, pero ella es la niña, mm-hmm. You know, like mi niña. It's truly, truly heartbreaking, especially because, well, obviously we don't know if Aurelio is guilty, but everything's pointing towards Aurelio. And
so authorities say that Aurelio cannot be considered a person of interest in the case because it is not yet a criminal investigation. They say that this is still a missing persons case, which I think is kind of like, they should consider it as something else, maybe, or like focus on it more, because encontraron blood in a car and they found her clothes, yeah, her bag at a lake.
Or just even like, if you don't know yet if it's a missing person case or a homicide, get to the blood samples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get to the blood samples. Yeah. Then you'll know if it's missing or homicide.
Exactly. So Jennifer, like we said, is 24 years old. She weighs about 120 pounds and stands at 5 feet and 4 inches. The Sunnyside Police Department is still investigating this case and asks that anyone with information call 509-836-6200.
Jennifer tiene 24 años y pesa 120 libras y mide 5 pies y 4 pulgadas. El Departamento de Policía de Sunnyside todavía está investigando este caso y le pide a cualquier persona con información que llame al número 509-836-6200.
And once again, like, si alguien sabe algo, we do encourage you all to speak. You know, there's also ways to do it anonymously if you wish to stay unknown. We just, you know, feel like Jennifer's family deserves to know what really happened to Jennifer and where is Jennifer.
We will be sharing Jennifer's post on our social media. Mm-hmm. Please share her post so that more people can listen and more people can share.
See her face.
Mm-hmm. And kind of like put a little bit of pressure on authorities to get those blood samples and get those answers.
Because they have a lot to work with right now.
They do.
They're just not being active about
they're
it.
They're not.
So it's really sad to hear.
And again, por favor, déjenos un review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. That really does help the show grow, and mm-hmm. we greatly appreciate it. Muchas gracias, and we'll see y'all next week.
Bye, y'all.